Welcome to FemWonk, a podcast about politics, public policy, and current affairs that takes an intersectional approach to topics that we care about. I'm your host, Katie Davey. Thanks so much for joining me. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I know this is a difficult time for many, so I want to first start off by recognizing and thanking those who are doing the work on the front lines to support the response of COVID-19. I'm also thinking of people who are dramatically impacted by this, either health-wise or economically. I feel tremendously lucky. I'm semi-business as usual right now, so we're trying to do our part through social distancing like everybody, but I'm definitely feeling very lucky. I will say, though, like many others, I've been experiencing some COVID-19-induced anxiety and stress, which has had me kind of asking how FemWonk and this podcast fits into public dialogue. As you know, we normally spend all of our time doing politics, public policy, and current affairs. Obviously, COVID-19 is all of these things, but honestly, I don't want to contribute to adding more noise. I also don't think my mental health can handle doing COVID-19-related content right now, so we took a bit of a break to kind of recalibrate. I also don't actually have my microphone. It's in Waterloo, and I am in Ottawa with my partner right now. So you're hearing me from my computer audio. It's obviously not as good, but thanks so much for adapting with us. The happy medium that we came to is doing kind of some semi-relevant but admittedly more light content to hopefully support all of our mental health. I put a poll out on Instagram yesterday, and 2020 book reviews won the poll. We had, coming in a strong second, work from home routine. So I've decided to do the book reviews this week, and we'll do work from home next week. If you've got any other suggestions, please send us a note on social media. I'm 1000% open to considering whatever you want to hear. Before we get started, though, we've actually got some great news. We're thrilled to announce that Glass Sky will be sponsoring the podcast for the rest of 2020. I want to personally thank Robin Tingley for supporting FemWonk in many ways, and I'm really looking forward to continuing our partnership. Robin has been a tremendous mentor to me, and honestly, I'm so grateful that she's been willing to support FemWonk financially. Glass Sky works to help the next generation of leaders make the most of their talents and contribute to society and the workplace in powerful ways. They also work with progressive employers who want to embrace diversity and gain a deeper understanding of the changes that they're facing as their leadership profile rapidly shifts to the one that is focused on millennials and increasingly female. You can visit their website, glassguy.org, to learn more. As you also may remember, Robin was one of our very first guests, so again, Glass Sky has been an early supporter of FemWonk, and I'm really grateful for this partnership. Okay, let's get into book reviews. As many of you know, we currently have a FemWonk book club that we started a few months ago. We're currently on our third book, so if you want to join this book club, please feel free to head over to our Facebook page and join the group. If you kind of head to the groups tab, you'll see book club there and you can request to join. We're really more than happy to have more folks join, particularly in this difficult time. So do head over and start reading with us. I'm going to do three reviews today, and I'm going to also attach a recommendation for a book that I'm thinking about reading or that's on my list that is related to the book that I reviewed. So first up, Had It Coming by Robin Doolittle. This was our last book club pick, so we got to read it together as a group. In summary, Robin undertook an investigative journalism project on how police in Canada handle sexual assault cases. Her findings were that sexual violence cases have a higher rate of unfounded coding. The rate varied across Canada, but it was a hugely troubling result. Many jurisdictions have since taken large steps to rectify this inconsistency. So this book further explores Canada's relationship with sexual violence cases. It details where we've come from historically and what meaningful ways we can have honest conversations about sexual violence in the age of Me Too. I personally really enjoyed Robin's take on the role that journalists have and how they report sexual violence overall. She talked about word choice such as survivor versus victim and why she personally doesn't use the word survivor. For me, this book was incredibly relevant and timely. And like I said, I think I learned a lot about the relationship between journalism and topics like sexual violence. I was also particularly interested in this book because I was working in the New Brunswick Premier's office during the time of Robin's report. So I saw firsthand and actually got to work with the public safety folks on the response overall that New Brunswick took. It was, I think, incredibly eye-opening for many folks, even those that were working directly with policing in New Brunswick. Also, in New Brunswick, we did have a particularly high rate of unfounded, especially in St. John. So it was really interesting to see, again, this topic come to light, how jurisdictions responded, and working kind of directly in that role in the Premier's office to see how that happened in New Brunswick. So I was particularly interested in this book, and it didn't disappoint. The one criticism, though, that I do have is that this book didn't really go far enough. And maybe that wasn't the role that this book should play, but in many cases, it really felt like it was scratching the surface. Again, that could be because there's just not a lot of content on this topic in Canada, but there was very little intersectionality other than how different generations interact with feminism and sexual violence. So I would have appreciated a bit more of a diverse conversation, but also recognize again, the ability to draw on the research that existed and the fact that, you know, one book can't do it all. So maybe this is kind of a call to action for further research. Overall, though, I would definitely recommend this book. I think it's relevant to any reader in many ways. It definitely takes an intersection, or it definitely is rather an intersection of policy, media, and kind of society and current affairs. So it's timely, relevant, and really informative. So I'd recommend picking it up. I have, I guess, two recommendations of books that are on my list that relate in some way to this theme. So Know My Name, a memoir by Chantal Miller. That's definitely a book that's been getting a lot, that has gotten a lot of attention, particularly because of the sexual violence case against, that Chantal Miller was involved with and how it was handled. So that's a book that's been on my list for a long time. I think, honestly, I've had it on hold at the library for a few months now, so still waiting for that to come in. And then a book that was recently released, I think just 2 weeks ago, Resilience is Futile, The Life and Death and Life of Julie S. Lalonde. So I'm really looking forward to reading that book as well. I followed Julie's work on social media for quite a long time, so hoping to pick that one up in the coming days if I can get my hands on it during this time. Authors in Canada and folks like Julie and others, I think Robin Doolittle's another great example, and the book we'll talk about next is as well. Obviously, in this trying time, there are lots of authors and thought leaders like those three people who rely a lot on speaking engagements and book sales and things like that to kind of have a livelihood. So if you have been putting off purchasing a book like this one by Julie Lalonde or others, I would recommend perhaps now, if you have the ability, is a good time to invest in that purchase. Okay, so my next review is actually our current Femlock book club pick. I'll try not to insert too many spoilers here. The book is called We Have Always Been Here, a queer Muslim memoir by Samra Habib. I loved this book. I couldn't put it down. I read it in like 3 days, I think. So Samra arrived to Canada as a refugee from Pakistan with her family in the 90s. This memoir details challenges that she faced both in Pakistan and in Canada, and her journey overall, I think, towards kind of self-actualization and independence. The memoir starts by dropping you directly into Samra's story. She's a young girl in Pakistan and is observing a bald-headed woman who she describes as free, all while having a bald head herself because of a recent case of lice. I couldn't put the book down. I think it's excellently written, and the story also just feels so deeply relatable, I think, because of the really personal nature and self-exploration. When I did a quick Twitter review of this book, like I do of all books that I read, or I guess I started doing in 2020, so I've only been doing that for 3 months, but I said that Samara's story reminds me that we have more in common than sets us apart, a lesson the world needs now more than ever. I think obviously this assessment holds particularly true in our current landscape. So my overall conclusion is I would totally recommend this book widely. It's currently shortlisted for Canada Reads. So pick it up now, be kind of a leader on your Canada Reads knowledge. You won't regret it. And like I said, it's a really quick read. I read it in 3 days, so definitely one to keep on your list. And what I'm looking towards, I guess, in a similar vein, is another Canada Reads book, Small Game Hunting at the Local... Oh, well, it's a long title. Okay. Small Game Hunting at the Local Coward Gun Club, there we go, by Meg and Gail Coles. So this is an author out of Newfoundland, so I am specifically interested with it, the Atlantic-Canadian connection. So this is my next Canada Reads pickup. And my final review, I'm going to cheat a little bit. It's a review of two books. So The Handmaid's Tale and The Testament, both by Margaret Atwood. Basically, these books, if you haven't had a chance to pick them up yet, rebels assassinate the president and take over society by slowly implementing changes where women have end up having little roles other than as handmaids, Marthas, aunts, and wives. It's a great dystopian treat coming from somebody who loves dystopian fiction. I have no idea actually how or why it took me so long to read these books, but I finally did, and I'm actually very happy that I waited for the Testament to come out before I read The Handmaid's Tale. My biggest criticism of The Handmaid's Tale is actually that it just didn't really give you much information about how they got there as a society. It was a really character-driven book focusing specifically on the one handmaid and their role broadly. The Testament fills in many gaps and gives a more holistic picture. So really, really liked reading them both together. I also loved that in The Testament there were, I think, 3 different references to New Brunswick. So obviously loved that. And the story actually ends in Campobello Island, in just off of New Brunswick. So very, I don't know, it's weird, like, do I have pride about this because of the way the book ends or the overall story? I don't know, but I was happy to see references to New Brunswick. We don't get many of those in literature these days. Something interesting, though, overall, like I said, I love dystopian fiction. It's one of my favorite one of my favorite genres. This is why I don't like writing things down, because I can't, like, anyways. In high school, I had an AP English teacher who I loved. He was an incredible, incredible teacher, one of my absolute favorites, but he loved dystopian fiction, so we read a lot. I had him actually for, I think, 3, maybe 4 years back to back to back. I definitely had him for 3 years because he was the AP English teacher. But yeah, so we read a lot of dystopian fiction with him, and I don't think I realized the profound impact that those novels had on me at the time. I also definitely did not realize how inherently political they were, which, you know, is definitely very similar to Handmaid's Tale and The Testament. My 2 favorites, though, I think, are Brave New World in 1984. Obviously, they're, you know, decades and decades old now, but while we're in the midst of COVID-19, you either want to stand clear of dystopian fiction, or maybe you want to really lean into it. If you do want to lean into it, a recommendation that's on my list right now is Quality Land by Mark Yue Kling. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It was recently translated into English from German. My partner recently read it and he loved it, so it's on my list of next reads. Finally, I'll just say I'm currently reading The Family Upstairs, which I'm liking a lot so far. I'm only on, I don't know, page 60 or something, but I'll let you know how that goes. Okay, that's all I've got. I don't know, if you like these reviews, let me know, and I'd be more than happy to kind of make it a regular thing. I love reading. It's obviously, I think I'm going to have a bit of time to do more of it. So let me know your thoughts, and other than that, we'll be getting back to you next time with our work from home routine. So thanks so much. Thanks for listening. If you liked this episode, leave us a review. You can keep up with us on social media by following @FemWonk on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. See you next time.